Welcome to the Changing Scripts podcast. I've been documenting my experience learning simplified Mandarin Chinese on a YouTube channel for the past year and a half. Offline, I've been having conversations with anybody that would discuss language with me, and I want to get some of those conversations on this podcast. There are some really interesting viewpoints about Chinese language, about learning the Chinese language, about language learning in general that I really, really, really want to capture and share. My main focus on this podcast is going to be twofold. I want to capture both perspectives. One is other people going through what I'm going through, probably further along the line of learning the Chinese language. So I'm going to interview people who are either in the process of learning or in the process of using the language. Don't worry, the interviews are going to be in English because I have that own linguistic dictation myself. I'm going to interview Chinese people on their experiences learning languages. We'll talk about methods, we'll talk about in and outside of the classroom, we'll talk about usage, inevitably we'll talk about pronunciation, reading, writing, whatever the people that I'm interviewing are most interested in about their language learning experiences or about the languages that we're talking about. So there's a whole lot of content that we're talking about here. So these podcasts are going to get long. All of my information are in the show notes, and I welcome your feedback and ideas. And if you are learning the Chinese language or come from the Chinese language and have learned other languages, I'd like to interview you. Contact me and we'll hash that out. Lucy is a phenomenal, motivated, personable, and articulate young woman. She works for a local media organization in the social media side of that company, and she found me last year because I did a review of this organization on what is now the Virtual Expat Podcast and invited me to a gathering of the company, and it was really exciting. At my current language level, I cannot have these conversations with people that grew up with Mandarin Chinese in Chinese yet. I hope to do that in the future, but I understand that's going to take quite some time. I feel really spoiled that the language I'm fluent in is in English, and I'm really spoiled that English is such a strong language in China, and that Lucy has such a high level that we can find out so much information about how Mandarin Chinese is learned as a first language here in China, as well as how she learned English as a child and is still refining her English speaking skills now. As I mentioned before, I used to teach language and then writing. When I was overseas, I used to teach it to local students in China, Malaysia, Vietnam, Japan. I think those are most of the places that I worked. But when I went back to the US for graduate school, I also taught first year writing to international students, and a lot of them were Chinese. We didn't have the time in that fast-paced environment for me to sit down and really pick their brain on language skills. We were focusing on their writing skills, and we had a lot to do in the classroom. And so I never really had those moments of being able to find out how they got where they are and ask them the other side of how they learned Chinese. So I'm really excited to now to have this opportunity to find folks who can maneuver both languages and can bring that information into English, not just for myself and my former teacher self, but for you who may never learn Mandarin Chinese, but might have some questions on how the language is learned. I'm sure a lot of you have come over from my YouTube channel and you've seen the look of the language and you've heard me highlight other people using the language in its beautiful tonal form. And those are difficult things to do when you're coming from a language like English, is to read those characters and to speak those tones correctly. And so to be able to have that insight into both learning Mandarin Chinese as a first language, as learning English as a second language for Chinese people, to have that insight in English, I think is really, really valuable for people who may not be able to have the time to learn Mandarin Chinese, but want to understand that process and that people from that culture. And so I hope that having this perspective on the Changing Scripts podcast really aids in having that kind of understanding. Because let me tell you, as someone who's trying to go from English to Chinese, anybody in China that I meet that has any level of English, I have the utmost respect for. This is a hard transition in both directions, folks. It really, truly is. So, without further ado, I think you should hear from the woman herself, because Lucy does not need anybody talking for her. She is the epitome of articulate.
Welcome, Lucy, to the Changing Scripts podcast.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Hello, everyone. My name is Lucy. I'm a Shanghainese, and I work for Sixtone, which is an English language website based in Shanghai, and I'm working for the social media team.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm so excited to have you here today.
Yeah.
Super obvious question. What was your first language?
Of course, my first language is Chinese, mm-hmm. and I can speak it since I'm very young, and I remember the first Chinese character I learned from my mother is Ren.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to recognize. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And technically, when we learn, how do we learn Chinese? Mm-hmm. Usually we will start from Pinyin. Mm-hmm. And after Pinyin, we will start to learn Chinese characters. Usually, in my primary school, mm-hmm. on grade 2, we will start to learn how to use a dictionary. Mm-hmm. Because if we learn how to use the dictionary, mm-hmm. then we can learn characters by ourselves. You know, there are two ways to find a character in the dictionary, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. via Pinyin or via character component.
Let's slow down, because you've got a lot of really good information into that. So when your mother taught you Ren, how did she teach that? And how old were you at that time?
Very, very young. Mm-hmm. I remember I was in kindergarten, and my mom was reading magazines.
Yeah.
And actually, I know nothing about these characters. Mm-hmm. But my mom will teach me, like, she will pick some very simple ones,
right.
Like Ren.
Uh-huh.
I still clearly remember this is the first character I learned from my mother.
Yeah. So did she say it a few times? Did she like trace it, or did she have you write it, or just
no? She just pointed to the character. It's Ren. Then I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an easy one to remember.
Yeah.
And it looks very similar to.
And later I will be maybe confused with the Ren with Ru. I don't know if you have learned Chinese, because Ren is right that.
Yeah.
Ren, right?
Yeah.
It's Ren.
Yeah.
But Ru means like go into. Ru.
Which does that one look like?
Ru like that.
Okay, I don't know that one yet.
Yeah, this part on the right side is like higher than this one. It looks just the same.
It looks very similar.
Yeah, Ren is right this way.
And
Ru is right this way.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So for listeners that can't see, I'll try to put a picture on my Instagram when I publish this episode. But basically, there's two strokes in both of these words. Mm-hmm. And one of them, you do the left first and then the right. And the other one, you do the right first and then the left. So that is probably one of the first situations I've seen where stroke order matters.
Yeah.
That is the best example I've ever seen of stroke order.
Yeah, I think it might be a little bit like confused for foreign learners.
It was for you, and you weren't a foreign learner when you were a child.
When I was a child. I think now it's very easy for us to recognize.
So anybody learning it for the first time, those look very similar.
Yeah. I think when we were in kindergarten, many children will be confused with the two characters.
Sure.
Yeah, and later I think in grade 3, mm-hmm. we will start to learn S's, very mm-hmm. simple S's with only 100 characters, mm-hmm. like an introduction of my parents,
mm-hmm.
my mother, and also write some diaries mm-hmm. every day. Yeah.
Can I ask you about the pinyin? So
yeah.
Did you guys just read the pinyin for the pronunciation, or did you actually write in it?
Right, we will write pinyin. First, we will learn how to write pinyin.
Yeah.
To be honest, I cannot remember clearly. Like A,
mm-hmm.
O, E, mm-hmm. I, U, U.
Okay.
It's quite like my English.
Yep.
Yeah. So we will start like practice writing like this
mm-hmm.
every day.
Yep.
And then learn how to use it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so those are individual vowels. And then you moved on to syllables. Like Ren is a syllable, but it's also a word, and they're like ping on ping. I don't know why I'm thinking of an insurance company right now, but that's like two syllables. So did you learn syllables next, or?
Ooh, syllable.
Okay, that's one syllable. I'm trying to think of something around, what's pen in Chinese?
Pen, qian bi.
Aha, two syllables, qian bi. So those smaller
parts,
not those individual sounds, but
learn words.
Wow. Okay, but in second grade you were using a dictionary already.
Yeah, in second grade
with the characters already.
because in second grade we kind of learn many characters, mm-hmm. and then we will learn how to use characters, and then if I see a character that mm-hmm. I cannot recognize, mm-hmm. if I learn how to use a dictionary, mm-hmm. I can know how to pronounce it mm-hmm. and its meaning. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I remember this part is my favorite part when I was in grade because I can learn a lot of new words,
yeah.
new characters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, by this. Yeah.
Why was it your favorite?
I don't know, because maybe I can learn a lot of characters mm-hmm. much more than my classmates, mm-hmm. then I will feel like, yeah.
Ah, so you were good at this part.
Yeah, I'm good at this part, okay. And yeah.
Okay. And so you guys were using a dictionary, you were using opinion. Were you writing characters in class at that time?
Of course, we practice every day. I remember in grade one, our homework is mm-hmm. to practice writing mm-hmm. characters. And also we will learn, it's like extra curriculum. Mm-hmm. Classes, we will learn Chinese calligraphy. Yeah.
In second grade.
Wow. Because in our school kind of yeah. have such kind of lessons mm-hmm. during the weekend. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was interested in that. Mm-hmm. Then I take part in one mm-hmm. classes mm-hmm. yeah, to write.
What's
with Maobi.
Is that the Shufu or the...
Shufa.
Shufa.
Shufa, yeah. Shufa. With brush pen.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that stuff is so beautiful.
But I didn't like continue, so I didn't write very well.
Sure.
Yeah, but still I remember the first characters we write is like Ren, mm-hmm. I mentioned to you, and mm-hmm. the E. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very simple like strikes.
Yeah. Too fun. Okay, so learning the characters and putting them together was easy for you, but was mm-hmm. there any part of reading or the pronunciation that was difficult?
For me, I think when I was in primary school, we have a lesson called like Chinese, mm-hmm. And I love Chinese, and I'm the representative of the subject.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, if you ask me the difficult part, I think it was maybe in senior high school mm-hmm. we start to learn some ancient Chinese prose. You know,
ooh, that's hard.
It's maybe like Shakespeare's. Like literature, mm-hmm. and I found that because you know in ancient Chinese prose, one character have various meanings, has had different meanings, mm-hmm. and sometimes, we were asked to recite mm-hmm. these essays, and I find it's very difficult mm-hmm. and sometimes boring because it's ancient Chinese prose, and many of them are related to like. Military or wars mm-hmm. or history. Mm-hmm. I'm not interested in this part, right. So I find it hard for me to recite these. Like,
I see. Yeah, and you had to memorize the whole thing.
Yeah. Sometimes very long.
Yeah. Oh yeah. When I was in elementary school, we had to memorize a historical document for the yeah. United States, and we had to memorize it. And it was, I can still remember the beginning.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
because
yeah.
I remember when I started to get really bored with it.
So it's like poem is okay, but some long prose, yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, 4 score and 7 years ago today, we set forth on this blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
it was horrible.
Yeah.
So incredibly boring. And I think for the same reason, as a child, I didn't really understand politics or history very well, and I was just like, I'm memorizing these formal words.
Yeah, there is a lot of like background information behind it.
Right.
You also need to memorize that.
Yeah, for sure. Ugh. Okay, wait, you said that they had student leaders for each subject?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So actually, I'm the student leader for Chinese and English.
Is this in primary school or secondary school or both?
I don't remember. In elementary school and junior high school,
okay.
I was always the leader for the Chinese subject.
Yeah.
And in elementary school, I also the English leader. Yeah.
What did the leaders do?
Usually, they were like collect the homework, mm-hmm. and if the teachers have something to tell the students, mm-hmm. like today's homework, mm-hmm. and I will tell them. And every morning we will have the morning reading part, mm-hmm. and I will stand in front of the classroom and organize the students to read. Yeah.
No wonder your communication skills are so strong. You've been practicing forever.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's so interesting. That's very clever of the teacher too, because that helps them do one less thing, and then the students take on some responsibility,
yeah,
and the teacher can focus on other things.
Yeah.
That's very, very clever.
Yeah, in China, every subject will have a student leader.
That's really cool. I've heard that some of the classrooms can get rather big. How many people were in your
classes? In my elementary school, we will have 50 students.
That is rather big,
40 to 50 students.
Right. Yeah. Wow. And in high school?
40.
40,
Still a lot.
That is still quite big. Wow. With language, whether it's people's first language or other languages, people tend to gravitate towards one thing they like to do more. Do you like writing, reading, or speaking better than one of the others?
I like speaking, because I don't know if I have that. In my elementary school, we have like we can perform, you know, with like reading some poems out loudly. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to describe this kind of like format, and I like this part. Yeah, and I think I remember in my junior high school, me and my classmate, we attend a contest, like reading like these beautiful poems emotionally.
Oh, yeah, that's really cool.
I love this part.
Yeah. Wow.
I dream of like being a DJ.
Yeah. That's really cool. What was your favorite poem to read? Did you have a favorite one to read?
Yeah, I remember it's a poem from like Chinese poet, Xu Zhimo. It's called 假如我是一朵雪花. It means like if I'm snowflake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, snowflake. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love this one.
That sounds beautiful.
Yeah, I like these beautiful poems and read it with background music. I just enjoy it very much.
That sounds really creative.
I remember when I was in senior high school, I would do it at my home myself. Mm-hmm. I would read it out and then edit it with the background music. Yeah.
Yes! Did you ever do it in front of a mirror?
No.
Oh,
no,
okay,
I didn't.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
One of my friends told me that it helps to have a mirror there to help you memorize, so that when you can pretend to look at the audience, but you're actually looking at yourself, and you can kind of see your facial expressions. And if for some reason it kind of makes you memorize it faster. But it's also very weird to stare at yourself while you're trying to look at the paper. And
but
then
the problem
yourself.
Is there is. I think there's no mirror in my room.
Well, there you go.
Maybe I can go to the restroom.
Were there any particular language teachers in your, in any part in your education who really inspired you with your speaking skills or communication skills?
I think I should thank to my kindergarten teachers, because I think it was she who think I have the ability to speak in front of the in front of many people. So I remember she picked me to attend a storytelling contest, like to memorize. I remember that part, because when I was in kindergarten, I don't know how to read, but I was supposed to attend a storytelling contest. And what we do, the teacher asked my parents to read a story to me, and I should memorize that. Yeah.
Okay, no pressure at all.
Yeah. But I remember it's a very short story.
Right.
Yeah, but I cannot remember. It's like a wolf or something like that. Yeah. I think since then, I start to love reading and speaking.
Did you ever write poetry?
When I was in elementary school, we have another workshop or something like that, and teachers will pick students who are good at like writing essays, and every weekend we will go to that class to learn writing skills. And on that class, I remember the teacher taught us how to write like modern poetry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The style of that.
Yeah.
But I remember what I wrote. Yeah. But I did that in that class.
Which did you like more, reading poetry or writing poetry?
Reading.
Yeah.
I think I'm not good at writing. Yeah.
Me too. I enjoy writing a lot, but given the choice, I will always want to read instead of write. because I always think other people's ideas are more interesting than
Yeah.
It feels good to get the ideas out, but I want to read somebody else's.
When I was young, I think I'm interested in writing, but since I'm getting old, yeah, I kind of like just reading what other people
It's so funny, isn't it? Yeah. I did write a lot more when I was younger.
Yeah.
That's so true. And now when I have an idea, I'll want to start writing it, and I'll go, oh, I wonder what somebody, and I'll kind of search online first and look for either like a blog or a website or a video or a podcast, and then if somebody else is talking about it, I'll just look at their stuff.
I think before we would write blogs.
Yeah.
And now if you turn back to read back, you'll find that, oh, what did I write? It's so like, yeah.
Oh, trust
me. I cannot believe it was written by myself.
Oh, yes. Yes. I relate to that. I have an entire podcast about that.
Expat Rewind.
Anyway, I have to do self-promotions all the time. So Chinese class, Chinese language class, was that every year from elementary school through the end of high school?
Yeah.
Okay. And was it a language class? Was it literature? Was it? Did it change throughout the years?
We combine. Mm-hmm. You know, in Chinese schools, we will have three major classes: Chinese, mathematics, and English. Mm-hmm. So usually we will have Chinese class every
every day.
Yeah,
for
every
how
day.
Long?
One class lasts like 40 minutes.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's a good amount of time. And how long were the English classes?
All the classes are 40 minutes.
Oh, all of them were.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Were the English classes and the Chinese classes taught similarly or different, or can you compare those?
We have different materials, so I think it's different. In Chinese, we will learn different, like, in our Chinese textbook, we have different passages, articles, and usually they are written by famous writers, and then we will write these, we will learn these like articles, and we will analyze why the writer wrote this way, like what's the meaning behind this sentence, something like that.
Okay.
And sometimes I think we just overread these, because I remember there's one very famous article by Lu Xun, and he mentioned that in my garden there is two trees. One is I forgot, one is what tree, and the other is also the same tree. And the teacher would just ask us why he wrote this way. Yeah.
We had very similar classes in English where I felt like we were spending too much time analyzing it. Like some of the, even the ones I liked, I was like, okay, that's enough. Can we move on now?
Yeah, I think maybe the writer didn't think about too much about it. Yeah.
Yeah,
very true. And in English class, you know, in China, we because I think my senior high school and primary school, I think the teachers are think English is very important, so we not only learn domestic English textbooks, we also learn foreign like English materials, like the new concept English, and also the, how to say that, the Cambridge Young Learners English.
Okay.
Yeah,
nice.
The materials are imported from like foreign countries.
Right. Okay. I'm imagining it wasn't, because it was learning the language outside of that context, so it was probably easier material. Like, the language was probably simpler than the Chinese stuff that you were...
I think these foreign materials will be more interesting and practical, like the words. Because in Chinese, in Chinese materials find like maybe some expressions are, I know, Chinglish. I don't know, say Chinglish. It's not like it's not native.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. It's because this textbook was written by Chinese English teachers, so they're different from like authentic English textbooks.
Sure.
Yeah,
and some of them just use some old-fashioned language that isn't used anymore.
Yeah. Like every Chinese people will joke that there is like nice to meet you, mm-hmm. nice to meet you too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we will start with this. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we cannot learn a lot of like practical English words, mm-hmm. but from these foreign textbooks, we can learn a lot of like, yeah, mm-hmm. words.
Interesting. Similarly, in a lot of the books for learning Chinese, there's also a lot of language that seems overly formal.
Mm. Or yeah, yeah, used too often. Formal. Yeah.
So when you try to use it for the first time, people are like, why are you saying
this to me? We don't talk this way.
You get it. Not all of them, because the market has really expanded, and so there's the whole range. But you don't really know at the beginning until you use the language and fail that, maybe that's not what I need to say.
If you're enjoying this conversation about the Chinese language and would like to participate, if you're studying the Chinese language or if you come from the Chinese language and have learned other languages, either perspective is both perspectives are greatly appreciated on this channel. Let's have a conversation. Let's tape that sucker and let's get it into this podcast. Contact me and let's etch out the details on how to get you and your valuable language learning experience onto this podcast. All of my information is in the show notes. Also, all over social media except Facebook, I am Steph Puccio, StephFuccio. That includes Gmail for my email, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, and LinkedIn. So I look forward to hearing from you.
Your mom was teaching you Mandarin Chinese at home. You were learning Mandarin Chinese in classroom.
I started to learn English when I was in third grade, mm-hmm. grade 3.
Okay.
It was like about like when I was 10 years old.
Right.
Yeah. People in my generation, usually in northern China, they will start learning English when they entered junior high school. So it's later.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Yeah. So generally speaking, students from like in southern cities like Shanghai or Guangzhou, their English language skills were better than students from northern China because they start learning English early than them. I think 3 years earlier than them.
Yeah. Oh wow. Yeah, and that makes a difference that young. Has it changed or is it still about 10 years old now?
Now?
Yeah.
I think parents in China all think English is very important, so they will let their children learn English since they were very young. And I think now in China, all elementary school have English classes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There are many night classes too.
Yeah.
Right there. Okay.
Yeah.
So do students go to have the English class at the regular school and then go to the night classes as well for language?
When I was young, we didn't do that.
Right.
Yeah, but now
they do.
Yeah, they do that. One of my colleagues, her daughter is very young. Her daughter is like 4 years old, and she should go to kindergarten every day. But she also, but my colleagues just paid for English learning class. Mm-hmm. Like it cost about like 20,000 yuan per year.
Okay.
And the daughter will go to that class once a week.
Okay.
Yeah. Whole day long. Yeah.
The whole day?
Whole day, yeah. She was, just immersed in the language environment. Whew. So you can tell
how
Chinese parents are,
really want to get the language in there. So you started learning English at 10 years old.
Mm.
You were good at the characters and you were good at memorizing vocabulary in Chinese. Mm. Did you feel like you had that skill in English too?
I don't think so, because I was in terms of like English learning, I can say above the average.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I can say maybe I'm the top one or top three students in terms of Chinese learning.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, so it was a very high standard to keep
high standard because students in those who are good at English language, they start at very young. They start learning English when they were in kindergarten.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you had to pick an area of English that you felt very comfortable and that was very easy to learn at that time when you were 10 years old, was it writing or listening, reading, speaking? None, all of them.
Still speaking.
Speaking.
Yeah.
So that transferred over.
I like reading because I'm not good at like interpretation, mm-hmm. but I think I'm good at memorizing stuff. So mm-hmm. I like doing speech, deliver lectures. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe mm-hmm. recite like famous lectures. Mm-hmm. I have a dream. Like yeah, when I was yeah. in college, we were asked to do that.
Yeah. Did you have to memorize entire speeches in English?
We have to, and also we can memorize some classic parts from movies. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Sort of like old-fashioned historical kind of movies or modern.
You can
movies?
Pick whatever you want.
Really?
I forgotten the movie about like the lawyer, the law school student who like to drink pink. You know that movie? I think you know that movie.
Who liked to drink pink?
Yeah. I was searching.
Yeah. Of course.
And there is a famous. There's a lecture, and she delivered during her graduation.
Oh, okay.
So we memorized that. I was searching for you.
Okay, I'm very curious about this.
Do you know that Legally Blonde?
Oh, that one! Yes. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Oh my God, really?
There's a lecture. Yeah.
That's so much fun.
I remember because I majored in international journalism.
Yeah.
It's also an English major, wow. So we should learn English language.
Right.
And we have a lesson that it's a lecture lesson.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to pick these episodes we love
and
reset that, mimic that. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm sure Reese Witherspoon is the actress. Yeah, I'm sure she would be very flattered to hear that. Wow. Now, was it something she said that you were saying, or one of her teachers?
She said. She said on her graduation of the law school.
Okay. Yeah. She had a speech for that day.
Yeah.
I watched that a very long time ago, so I don't remember
it. It's an old movie.
Yeah. Too funny. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, if speaking was the easiest part for you, what was the hardest part of functioning in the English language and learning it?
Vocabulary, and I think reading, mm-hmm. because in English there is a lot of like slang or idioms,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes you will find that you know, if you separate the words, you know what it means, but if you put them together, mm-hmm. you don't know what it means.
Yep.
Especially when you read some news titles.
Yes.
Yeah, they use very simple words.
They do.
But I don't understand like the culture or behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is that when I was in college, I'm not confident enough to speak my oral English. Yeah, it's not very good. Mm-hmm. I think I'm not confident enough to speak out.
Mm-hmm.
But now, since my working environment, we have a lot of foreign colleagues, so mm-hmm. our working language is English.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like being more confident than before to mm-hmm. speak in English.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was learning English, it's also a very hard, it's also a hard part. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, idioms are really, really challenging to learn and as well to teach.
Yeah.
Because understandably, students, when they start to learn a language, will learn individual words and then they'll learn like maybe some phrases, and then by the time you get to like intermediate or advanced level, then they start becoming aware of the idioms.
Yeah.
But by that point they're so used to translating directly every word, and it's getting out of that habit is really hard.
And another hardest part is that how to speak like a native speaker. Yeah, this is the hardest part.
Well, you don't need to. You just need to be a comfortable, flexible speaker. No, because there's so many different versions of native speaker. And fun fact, English in the world today is used more non-native speaker to non-native speaker.
Mm. Yeah.
That language is used more in that context mm-hmm. than native speaker to non-native speaker.
Mm-hmm.
So there's more non-native speakers talking to each other. So it's more about comfort level and being able to ask, what does that mean? Or do you mean this? Or like kind of, you know, being able to navigate the language.
Yeah.
More than being perfect in one variety.
Oh.
Because there's American English, there's Canadian English, there's British English, South African, New Zealand, Australia. There's Malaysian English, Singaporean. There's so many different varieties.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And also the accents,
mm-hmm.
you know, because my first job was working in a radio station.
Mm-hmm.
I was a reporter there, and some people speak very like authentic American accents. Some people are British
accent.
There is accent.
No authentic American
really?
Accent.
Really?
Yeah. There are so many different American
but
accents.
But, you know, for our Chinese people, we will just, like, admire those people who wait. Like sounds like American or who speak like British accent.
There's a very flat accent that we call like newscaster English.
Mm-hmm.
The pronunciation that they use on in the news because they figured they
wanted. We call it as international accent.
That maybe, but I don't think that most people speak that way.
Yeah, because we have some news anchors. They're Chinese.
Yeah,
yeah. Their accent is not American, not British.
Yeah,
yeah. They call themselves. We speak. Like international accent.
Well, it's funny because most of the news people that have that accent have to learn how to speak like that. Like when I started,
I think it's like in Chinese, but the news anchors, speak right
because
standard Mandarin,
exactly. Yeah, because a large amount of people have to understand them, so they have to get rid of all of the nuances in their own language and sound like nobody, so everybody can understand them. Yeah. Interesting. Well, you work in an English environment. Do you hear quote-unquote native speakers not able to understand each other even?
Yeah.
Yeah, that happens a lot, doesn't it?
like colleagues from New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Yep, it happens so much. I moved from one part of America to another pretty early on, and so I knew there were different varieties of English.
Yeah, and because I think like American American accent are easy to understand because when you like watch soap opera or when you watch like British soap opera, it's easy for us to understand like American soap opera.
I wonder if that's because your training was your learning was it mostly in American-ish accent when you were learning the language?
I think in elementary school, because we should listen to tapes, and these tapes are recorded by, I don't know, maybe Chinese people. It's like more like what you said, newscaster.
Yeah, so that could be it. Because I've heard people say different things with which one they can understand more from what they learned first.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
I never been to Britain, but my colleagues who started in Britain tell me that in Britain, when she studied in Britain, she found it's very hard to understand people there. But when she go to America, she will find, wow, it's a very different.
It's
totally different.
I would not argue, but entertain that there's places in both countries where there's a clear accent and where there are hard to understand accents.
Okay.
If you went, like if this is, I'm doing a map of the U.S. on my hand right now, listeners.
So
if this is the U.S., the Northeast and the West Coast are pretty clear to understand, especially in cities.
Okay.
And the northern part, generally, especially in cities, is easy to understand.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to Texas, that's a very specific accent. You know what I'm talking about.
I know. Yeah.
The southern accent is really, it can be very, very interesting sounding, but if it's too fast, I have to ask people, what? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And there's different, and some New York accents are hard to understand. So and there's different ones in different places that are challenging, but there's a lot of different accents in the U.S., and it's changing all the time,
because
different folks, well, I don't know about now, but we used to have different waves of immigration coming in, and so there'd be different accents.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think what I'm talking about is standard American accent and compared vs standard British accent.
I don't know. I've been to the UK, but I haven't and I've worked with a lot of British English teachers, but I think there's easy to understand and hard to understand accents in both places. But I've also worked with and listened to many different accents in English over the years. So I can kind of switch my listening pretty quickly
now. You have
now.
Like sharp ear.
Survival skills. I'm sure you can, because there's many accents in Chinese, aren't there? I mean, China is a gigantic country.
Even in Shanghai, you know, I was born in the suburban district of Shanghai.
Mm-hmm.
Our dialects mm-hmm. actually are different from Shanghai dialect.
Oh! What is the name of the dialect that you
grew up with? Have you ever heard about Songjiang?
Yeah.
We call it the root of Shanghai because, yeah.
And it's not Shanghaiese and it's not Putonghua.
It's I think it's kind of the root of Shanghainese.
Okay.
Just because the tones are different.
Whoa.
So okay. for Shanghainese,
yeah,
I mean, who live in downtown,
yeah,
they may find difficult to understand.
Oh my God.
My dialect,
yeah,
but we can communicate.
Right,
but sometimes it's different. Yeah,
is it the same words but different tones?
Yeah,
okay.
Most of them. Sometimes in Shanghainese they mm-hmm. don't have this tone. It's only my dialect have
sure,
this
sure, sure, sure.
have this word. Yeah. It's very complicated.
It is very complicated. And that's still just within Shanghai.
Yeah.
How many different dialects are there just in Shanghai?
In Shanghai,
I say just, but Shanghai is what, 35 million
because
people?
In Shanghai, there's like the dialect in the standard dialect,
mm-hmm.
in the downtown dialect.
Okay.
And we...
Is the downtown dialect Shanghaiese or it's not?
The Shanghai is it's Shanghainese.
That is, okay.
It is Shanghainese. And then maybe Songjiang.
Mm-hmm.
And Pudong,
mm-hmm.
Pudong, yeah, Pudong,
yeah.
And Chongming,
mm-hmm.
yeah. I don't know. Most of the dialects are in the suburban
areas. And they're not accents, they're dialects. Like, it's not just a different, like a slightly different sound. It actually has more differences than just.
More differences. It has more differences. Yeah.
Why do you think there are so many different dialects just within? I can't say Shanghai is a small area, but within one city.
Because you know, Shanghai is a city that we call it, it's an immigrant city.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So actually, when Shanghai when we first have Shanghai, we have people from nearby provinces mm-hmm. come to this city.
Yeah.
So maybe because. Of this thing.
Sure.
Because I found that my boyfriend is from Zhejiang province,
mm-hmm.
which actually is nearby city of Songjiang, mm-hmm. my hometown district.
Yeah.
So I found that my dialect mm-hmm. actually is quite similar to his dialect.
Yeah. My husband is from one state. Well, I grew up on the East Coast, but then mm-hmm. I moved to California.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my language now is from the time that I spent in California.
Yeah.
And my husband's from, one or two states over, so
uh-huh.
pretty close.
Yes.
And especially our prepositions are very different.
Yeah.
Even just that close to each other
uh-huh.
in the U.S.
Uh-huh.
Like, generally speaking, we understand each other, but there are times that I'll be like, I'll be waiting for him to finish a sentence,
mm-hmm.
and he's done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how different the word order is, or something vocabulary-wise is different, and I'll be like, oh, that's it. Okay. Well, what does that mean? Or something, you know, even just that close to each other.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And there's definitely differences within each state, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's hard for people who are not in China who are listening to this. It's hard to explain how big Shanghai is and how big China is.
Yeah. And I know nowadays in Shanghai, mm-hmm. many children, they cannot speak dialect. They will just speak Mandarin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The standard
Putonghua. And you know, in Shanghai we even have like such a kind of campaign called like Protect Our Dialect.
Right. Because they want to keep it going.
Yeah.
Are any of the dialects used or taught in schools?
I know some schools were taught Shanghainese.
Okay.
Yeah.
But not
all schools.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just learned today, it's a news item right now, that Australia is about to hit 25 million people.
Mm-hmm.
Like that just an idea of scale.
Mm-hmm.
Shanghai is 35 million, that one city, this one city that we're in.
Yeah.
The country of Australia is just about to hit 25 million people.
Yeah.
The city of Shanghai, 35
million. Yeah, so you can imagine what kind of dialect, how many dialects we speak.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And to be fair, in Australia, they are kind of around the perimeter, so they're far away from each other,
mm-hmm.
the people
mm-hmm.
in different cities.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's like to hear that and go, wait. So they're about 10,000 people short of being this one city, people-wise.
Yeah, and I've watched some viral videos.
Mm-hmm.
I know in Shanghai, some foreigners speak very fluent Shanghainese.
Mm-hmm.
There is a German guy.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Afu. Mm. I don't know whether you...
I don't know.
You know? And he married Shanghainese.
Okay.
And he speaks very fluent, like,
no
Shanghai
way.
Dialect.
I'm going to
yeah,
find
Afu.
That.
Yeah, very interesting.
I love watching YouTube videos of anybody speaking a language, but especially if they're not from there.
Maybe you can interview him.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, what a good idea.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I remember I once met him in, because he's very famous. Yeah.
Oh no, then he probably doesn't have time for
us. He has a lot of videos. Yeah.
What is his, do you know his name?
Afu.
Oh, Afu. Like A-F-U?
I will show you.
Oh, thank you.
Afu is Chinese. I don't know his in the German name.
Oh.
I will show you his picture. Yeah, this guy. Yeah, this guy.
No, I haven't seen him.
Yeah.
Oh, yay, I have a new channel.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That looks hilarious.
Yeah. You can take a look.
That's great. Thank you.
If you're enjoying this conversation about the Chinese language and would like to participate, if you're studying the Chinese language or if you come from the Chinese language and have learned other languages, either perspective is greatly, actually both perspectives are greatly appreciated on this channel. Let's have a conversation. Let's tape that sucker and let's get it into this podcast. Contact me and let's etch out the details on how to get you and your valuable language learning experience onto this podcast. All of my information is in the show notes. Also, all over social media except Facebook, I am Steph Puccio, STEPHFUCCIO. That includes Gmail for my email, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, and LinkedIn. So I look forward to hearing from you.
I'm always looking for new people to follow in any medium.
I don't know if foreigners like that, because we Chinese people like that. Mm. Like to see like foreigners speak Shanghainese.
Yeah. I doubt I would understand most of it right now, but it would still be interesting to see what he's doing. And if it has subtitles, that's kind of cool. It looks like
Yeah.
Very, very, very cool. So far we've got Mandarin, we've got the Songjiang dialect, we've got Pudonghua, and we've got English. Have you learned any other languages?
Japanese.
You've learned Japanese.
And I'm an English major, and it's a routine that if you learn major in a language, you need to learn a second language in college.
Of course you do.
But
we
learned it like one year or 2 years, but actually I forgot because I didn't practice it. I remember we spent a lot of time learning that because Japanese is totally different from English, and but we just learned it in the Japanese class.
Right.
I didn't practice it, so I just forgot.
Gotcha.
Now I can only speak.
I've heard
I cannot remember anything.
The grammar is very
complex. The grammar is complex. It's different.
Yeah,
but you know, my roommate who is a fan of a Japanese star, so she just keep learning it. Mm-hmm. So now she can speak very fluent Japanese.
Right.
Yeah, because they want to watch like Japanese animations, like that. Yeah,
motivation is motivation.
Yeah.
Japanese has, and I always forget this, three or four different writing scripts, and one of them is taken from the Chinese characters, right?
Yeah. And some are taken from like English, because in Japanese, America, what they say is America.
Yeah. A lot of the food, the foreign food
instant
words.
Instant noodles. Something like that.
Yeah. Interesting. So did that make it easier when you were studying it to read the language? To read Japanese?
When I was learning, I think it makes me easier, but yeah. No, I kind of forget everything.
Sorry to my Japanese teacher. That's fine. Do you find yourself reading a lot? Do you read a lot? Do you listen to stuff? Do you watch a lot of movies? Like, what kind of input do you get in any language? Like, what do you consume?
In college, we will listen to...
Now.
So proper.
Do you?
Yeah,
in what... Like Chinese ones or foreign ones or a mixture?
I think mixture.
Yeah.
And also I will listen to like Himalaya. It's a podcast station.
Yeah. Yeah, it's becoming very popular.
Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I don't read a lot nowadays.
Yeah.
Or we will just use mobile phone. Yeah, we will read articles in the on WeChat.
Yeah. Hey, that's reading.
Yeah.
I know I ask people about reading and they say, I don't read. And then they'll list off all these different newspaper articles, magazine articles, and all these blogs. And I'm like, that's reading.
Because I found that nowadays I'm not patient enough to do long read.
Yeah. But I wonder...
I don't know why, because maybe because of we use mobile phone quite often.
Yeah,
we cannot concentrate ourselves on very long time.
But do we always
really
need
sad.
To? Are we missing something by not reading things that are much longer?
We won't.
I don't know. Like, I'm still reading longer novels because I'm in some book groups,
mm-hmm.
but I'm quite happy.
It's a good habit. Yeah.
To do shorter articles and podcasts and videos and things.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's the information, not how it's packaged.
Yeah, so. Because you know nowadays in China, mm-hmm. it's a trend to like watch short videos.
Yeah. I love short
it's
videos.
Popular.
Yeah. There's a bunch of video websites that are really popular here.
Yeah,
right?
Like Kuaishou.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that one yet. It's like
every time I talk about this, somebody tells me a new one.
Yeah, so Kuaishou, Miaopai.
Yeah. Wow.
A lot of app.
Yeah. I like short videos. What's happened in English too, and I'm sure you've seen this, is on some of the video websites, there are even academics who are putting like their 1 hour, 2 hour lectures on YouTube and on different video sites for free. They'll just video themselves and just get the information.
You know, one of my colleagues mm-hmm. was in a group to translate these lectures into Chinese.
Yeah.
Very these cool. online classes.
Yeah. Very cool.
For free.
Yeah.
For fun. Yeah.
Yes. Do you have any desire to learn any other languages in the future?
Maybe Korea. Mm-hmm. Korea, because I love to watch like Korean TV series.
They're so
and
good.
Every year I will go to South Korea,
mm-hmm.
travel for shopping.
Yeah.
So if I can speak Korean, maybe it will be easier for me to communicate. But you know, in South Korea,
mm-hmm.
they have a lot of like Chinese stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
But still I want to like learn maybe
it's still
South
be
Korean.
Yeah. It'd be nice to watch the shows in Korean too.
Mm-hmm. I will continue like improving my English language skill
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's my working language.
Yeah. See, your English is such a ridiculously high level. How do you improve on this? Like, what are you doing to
nowadays?
Yeah.
I will have an app and every day I will learn some new words. Where is it?
Oh, like a word of the day kind
of
app?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, okay.
And also, you know, I mentioned mm-hmm. I work in for English language website.
Right.
I will just read our own stories.
Well, yeah.
And communicate with our colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
This is very important.
Yeah.
I can learn a lot from them.
Yeah. So you have to practice English every day whether you want to or not.
Yeah.
But that's also good because when you don't want to study, then you still have to go to work and use the language.
Yeah, I have to use that.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's good.
And also I found it's difficult that because I also responsible for our social media platforms.
Right.
Sometimes I should read like comments. I found it's hard for me to understand some comments.
Yeah. Huh.
You know, it's like internet language.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The comments, are they in English, Chinese, or
It's English.
Yeah. Oh, that's right, because Sixth Tone is in English, and then the sister paper, that's in Chinese.
The paper.
The sister paper is the paper.
Yeah, it's called the paper.
The paper, yeah. So all the comments on yours are in English.
So
when people are leaving messages, they're being very informal.
Yeah.
With
so
that.
Sometimes I cannot understand.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
If you ever have any questions, feel free to like screenshot and send it to me or whatever.
That's cool.
Yeah. Seriously, I'd love to help
with
that.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of interesting, like when you grow up using that, sometimes you don't realize how much it's used. And then you see an example and you go, oh, yeah, that doesn't mean... Like, the meaning's not so simple.
Mm.
Like, you really... When you have to explain it, you realize how it isn't simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just, yeah. Definitely, yeah. Send them on. That'd be kind of fun. I want to talk about the Beijing dialect a little bit.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm only up to HSK2 level, and reading, opposite of you, reading is easier for me than speaking, like a million times.
Mm-hmm.
But I keep hearing people say or talk about the Beijing dialect and the R in the Beijing dialect and how different it is.
I live in Beijing like for 10 years.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's really difficult when to speak the time to put R in that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
In Beijing, there is a place called Da Zha Lan. If you know Chinese, you made it Da Zha Lan. But local Beijingers will pronounce it like Da Shi La. Da Shi La. If it's standard 普通话, it's Da Zha Lan. But local people will just say Da Shi La.
Yeah.
It's like Manchu. Yeah. You know? Manchu.
It's an ethnic
language.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The Manchu language.
Okay. So if you hear the Beijing dialect, does it?
They speak very quickly. Like these like middle-aged Beijingers. Because I lived there for 10 years, so it's easier for me to understand. But my parents.
Yeah.
Actually, they cannot speak very standard 普通话. It's really difficult for them to sometimes communicate
with the
Beijingers, like on the bus or in the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's that different of an accent.
Yeah.
Wow.
And also, I don't know how to say, we Shanghainese, we cannot pronounce we call it hou bi yin. I don't know whether how to say that because like Beijing, it should be J-R-N-G, Jing, Jing, but we Chinese people or we Shanghainese will say Jing without the
Beijing. You drop Beijing, the G sound.
We drop the G sound. But it should be called Beijing.
Okay.
But we will say Beijing.
Okay.
The nose.
The
sound.
Okay. I think, like, not Shanghai, because that sounds like Shanghai, but there are some words that start with SH in pinyin, like sh sound.
Sh and S. And start with S.
And in Shanghai, I feel like they mostly just say the S, not the SH.
Like shi.
Yes.
It should be shi.
But
like my parents, they will say si.
Yeah. So that's the Shanghai thing.
Yeah, Shanghai thing.
Oh my god. Yeah, because all my textbooks are Beijing based.
Yeah.
And so
Beijing based is standard.
Yeah. And I'll adjust later, but it's just like, I keep hearing how different this is, but I can hear this difference.
Yeah.
I can understand this, but I don't hear that yet. And I've also heard the R at the beginning, like for Ren.
Yeah.
I've heard that the R is also different.
Yeah. Sometimes you will put R, sometimes you should not.
Yeah.
Like, 你去哪儿?
Yeah.
你去哪?
Yeah.
Because, like, in Shanghai, we just say 你去哪?
Yeah.
你去哪里? But in Beijing, we say 你去哪儿?
Yeah.
哪儿?
So, 哪里, not 哪儿.
哪儿?
Yeah. That's not that big a difference right now, but I also hear that a lot in taxis.
Yeah. Xiaohai, we will say children, we will say Xiaohai, but in Beijing dialect, they will say Xiaohai.
Yeah, okay.
You can recognize the R.
So when you meet like a new group of people and there's somebody from Beijing there, you can tell right away.
Of course.
Yeah. Is it? Do you think it's the strongest or most distinct accent in China, or it's just
it's
a common?
It's distinct.
Yeah,
it's distinct.
Yeah.
Especially I think it's distinct for people from southern China, and the people from northern China maybe they will not find it so different.
Of course, because they're used to it. What do you think is the easiest accent in China to understand?
Beijing.
That's the easiest one to understand.
Of course, because Beijing. Beijing dialect is, they should be the standard Putonghua.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there, it's the only dialect where they use that R.
I cannot say Beijing dialect is a dialect. It's actually standard.
Okay, Putonghua. Okay. Huh. What do you think is the hardest accent to understand in China?
People say Wenzhou, you know, it's a city in in southern, it's a city in East China,
yeah.
Wenzhou.
Why
and
is it so
people
hard to
say
understand?
Wenzhou dialect it sounds like Japanese.
Okay.
And maybe Cantonese.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's also hard to.
But there's a big difference between Cantonese and
generally speaking, dialect in southern China are more difficult than dialect in northern China.
Right. Okay.
Some people also find that Shanghai dialect is also difficult too.
Yeah. I can't hear the difference yet. I can only hear individual words.
Sometimes
when I
was in college, I would talk to my mom on the phone in Shanghai dialect.
Yeah.
Also, my roommates will say, you sound like speak Japanese.
I have heard that. Yeah. Interesting. So if you were to, what do you think the most frequent sounds in Shanghaiese, what would you say those are?
Whoa.
Because in Putonghua, I think I hear sh and s and zh a lot.
I don't know, maybe the end of each sentence or va, ho, va, this, have you, va.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so why are they, did they ever tell you why they think it sounds like Japanese? Is there a certain...
Maybe the tone or the pronunciation?
Yeah. Interesting. It's so complex.
Yeah, I remember once I was shopping with my mom in Beijing and we speak Songjiang dialect. And one shopkeeper said, "안녕하세요."
Isn't that Korean?
Yeah, Korean.
Yeah.
Because she thought we are Korean, we're from Korea.
Right. It's funny, I've lived in Japan, I have not even been to Korea, but when I hear Koreans or Japanese people speak, I'll often confuse the two languages.
Because when I watch Japanese TV series, I found that one word do pronounce the same and have same meaning with Songjiang dialect. I was surprised to find that.
Oh, really?
If you know Korean language, they will say 어서, 어서가, 어서가 means quickly.
Yeah.
어서가 means walk.
Yeah.
And also, and in Chinese, in Songjiang dialect, we also have also means quickly.
Oh, okay.
It sounds just same, the
oh
same.
My gosh. Oh
I
my
don't
gosh.
Know why.
Yeah. Oh, who was it? There was a gentleman I was talking to earlier this week, and he lived in, I'm not going to remember this.
No,
I just recorded it on Sunday.
Okay.
The first place he lived in China, he was describing how the F was pronounced like an H. And I remember in Japanese, they pronounce the F like an H. And so I was wondering if there was a historical connection
fa,
there.
Yeah.
Does that happen in a lot of places in China?
Yeah, it also will happen in...
In Shanghai?
Yeah, in Shanghai.
No way!
Hua qian, hua cai. Yeah, like
Fuzhou Lu, how would you say that?
Some people will say... No, Shanghai people, you mean Fuzhou Lu in Shanghai dialect?
Yeah.
Fuzhou Lu.
It still sounds like it.
It's still as bad
sometimes. Interesting. Because I live near Panyulu, and I thought that was going to be an easy street to tell the taxi drivers.
Mm-hmm.
But some of my taxi drivers say, when I say Panyulu, they say Fanyulu.
Oh.
And they do a P to F switch.
It's not the pronunciation, I think it's the... Maybe they don't know how to speak correctly.
Okay.
Yeah, pronounce the word correctly.
Well, I'm messing up the tones. I think pan
should be correct pronunciation.
Well,
I know some people will pronounce it as fun, but it's wrong.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, some Chinese characters look like the same. So maybe, because if we have this...
I cannot read your script.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Oh my god.
It's fancy. It's tomato.
Okay.
But if I put it this way, it's Han. It's usually used in the last name.
Okay,
have the same part.
Right.
Yeah, so people will confuse about that.
Okay. But there's so many words that are like that. They have a similar component.
You can't
just keep messing up the sounds. Oh, that's so funny. Because I was thinking, because there aren't a lot of, I don't think there are a lot of streets that start with Pan. So I thought, this is going to be easy. They can't confuse it with this other street. And it's like Pan Yu Lu and Hung Chau Lu. And Hung Chau is easy.
Yeah.
Like that's a very big street.
But I think whatever you say, you say Pan Yu or Fan Yu, people, the drivers will all know about that.
But at first I didn't know that they would confuse it with Fan Yu. So I was just like, I don't know what you're saying. Then I just took a picture of it and I'd show them. I just want to go home. But I thought it was interesting because it happened many times with different taxi drivers.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, so this, I wonder if this is a region, like they're from a certain part of China and that's accent or I don't know.
It's not accent. It's just a wrong pronunciation.
Just a mistake. Okay. Yeah. That's so funny. So I stopped using it. So Guangyuanglu is close by, so I just use that one instead.
Guangyuang?
I know my tones are completely wrong. G-U-A-N-G-Y-U-A-N.
G-U-A-N-G.
G-G.
G-U-A-N-G. A-N-G.
Guangyuanglu. Yeah. And that is
Jiaotong University.
Very near there. Yeah. We're kind of between. There's so many apartments. I'm not giving anything away. We're between Shujiahui Station and Hung Chau Road Metro Station, but exactly in between. So it's hard to describe.
Yeah.
So I thought Pan Yu would be easy, but it caused all these problems. And part of me just wanted to get home. And part of me wanted to like ask them where they're from and kind of keep a list and try to figure out where the mistake was coming from. Is it me or is it you? So it's all very, very, very interesting. Cool. A lot of my listeners are either just beginning to learn Chinese or they're trying to keep going, like they've learned to a certain level and they're trying to keep going with the language. Do you have any advice for them on, especially for the higher level folks who are fluent in Chinese, they didn't grow up with it, they learned it as an adult, they're fluent in it, but they want some materials, you said you listen to podcasts, right?
Mm.
So can you recommend some podcasts in Chinese that they can listen to?
Or Himalaya. I will listen to Xiaoshuo. I don't know if you know that it's a podcast hosted by Gao Xiaosong, who used to be a singer, but he is also very knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm.
So he will have his own programs, and in each episode, he will talk about like his experiences or his opinions, or talk about history. He's from Beijing, so I think his pronunciation is very good, and also it's very knowledgeable.
Okay,
yeah.
That sounds super interesting.
Yeah.
If there were any listeners who were interested in reading Chinese, I've heard newspapers are kind of difficult, more formal language.
Mm-hmm.
Can you recommend any blogs, websites, or anything that they can...
News website?
Not necessarily news, it's just...
Maybe
like,
also watch some like... Chinese talk shows?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Can you recommend one of those? I'm putting you on the spot. Sorry, I didn't have this on the list.
Well, no, it's like talk shows. I know one, but the show is like ended.
Well, that's okay. They can watch past ones.
Yeah.
They're probably still available online somewhere.
Yeah. 奇葩说.
Okay.
It's called 奇葩说. Different people. It's like a debate program. People will debate on one topic.
That's very cool.
Yeah, but these people are very like dramatic. Yeah, it's very very interesting.
Yeah,
it's not a like serious debate show.
Oh,
it's
okay,
like an entertaining show.
Is it celebrities?
No, they are not celebrities.
Not celebrities. Just
they just pick contestants.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds very,
very interesting.
It's called
奇葩说. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Yay! Well, thank you so much for all of this
information and the talk about the language. It's so, so interesting to hear how different people learn languages, what things they like about it, what things they don't like and don't continue with and continue with. It's all just a very, very, very interesting, very interesting topic. So thank you so much for coming and doing this
today. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Changing Scripts podcast. Again, this is a sister project with my own language learning vlogging on YouTube, also called Changing Scripts. So come on over and take a peek at that. Again, if you are learning the Chinese language or if you're coming from the Chinese language learning another language, I'd love to interview you for this podcast. Please feel free to contact me in any social media way that you see fit. Go ahead and contact me and we will hash out how to get you on the sound creation known as the Changing Scripts podcast. A lot more is coming your way soon.